Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Ann Little is our special guest this morning. She is in with us to talk, among other things, bluebirds. Ann, it's good to have you here. Good morning.
Good morning, Ted. It's wonderful to be here.
We did this show a couple of years ago, and we started off, it was a Tree Fredericksburg show, and within minutes, you started talking about bluebirds, and we did the whole show. At the end, I said, I never thought there was that much information. But bluebird, I mean, it's a fascinating topic, and you've really you're involved with the Virginia Bluebird Society, and there's a lot to talk about, and they're an important bird.
Well, actually, Carl and I, my husband, and two other friends, we started the Virginia Bluebird Society 22 years ago, and there's a funny story with that whole thing. When I first moved to Virginia, I had never seen a bluebird, right? And I saw a bluebird in my yard, and I said, I have to figure out how to keep this bird in my yard. And started doing research. And if you have a nest box in your yard, the bird will nest there because bluebirds don't readily come to feeders. That's not what they do. And so we started working on bluebirds and got bluebirds in our yard. And then we got some bluebird boxes on our neighbors' yards because they had big open spaces for their drain fields. And I had like 10 different boxes in my neighborhood. And so one day I called the post and I said, you know, I've got these beautiful birds. Why don't you come out and take a picture of them? Because you can get really close to bluebirds. And the post reporter came out and he took a huge amount of shots. You could get really close, like 25 feet away. And it was a slow news week. And we had 3 full color pages in the Washington Post that week.
From your backyard and of bluebirds.
Right. And so I gave the reporter my office phone number, and we had almost 500 phone calls that week, which I almost lost my secretary because she said, I don't work for the bluebirds.
Yeah.
And so we said, let's start the Virginia Bluebird Society because look at the interest that's out here.
Well, and I have noticed in the past few weeks on Facebook just a lot of pictures of bluebirds. Is this a good time for them to
right.
be around?
Now they're starting to nest, so they're coming to the nest boxes. So people are starting to notice them. And because of the snow up north, all of the bluebirds that normally migrate up to Boston and all the Northeast, they can't go up there. There's snow. So they're all here starting to fill up our nest boxes. So you're seeing a lot of bluebirds.
The back to starting the Virginia Bluebird Society, which I had forgotten that story, and what a great story that is. Looking at the website, it's virginiabluebirds.org. There are a lot of people involved in the Bluebird Society.
Oh,
statewide.
Yes. We have over 500 members. Last year, we had over 25,000. Chicks that were fledged out of 5,000 nest boxes that were reported to the society. And that's just some that are reported. I mean, anybody can report their statistics to the society, and we put that on our website and keep that information. And the reason that's important, you remember 3 years ago when we had that really, really cold winter?
Yeah.
And it went all the way through the spring? Well, what happened was that all of the birds really depleted all of the berry bushes. And that's what bluebirds eat in the winter. So we were finding a lot of dead bluebirds that didn't make it in the nest boxes because they go into the nest boxes at night to roost together. You know how like in the penguin movie where they all kind of move to the middle, stay warm and move out? Well, birds do the same thing. They'll go and roost in the nest boxes. So that year up at Stratford Hall, we had 55 boxes. The year before, every one of those boxes was full. The next year, we had no bluebirds nest. So keeping the statistics and understanding what's going on in the bluebird world and in bird world in general gives us an idea, a snapshot of the health of our environment.
Boy, interesting. Now, this was a colder, it's been a little chillier. It hasn't been as cold as that was. Are you concerned at all with the weather the way it is right now and what that will do to bluebirds?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I still see berries on bushes, and that's kind of the you have a lot of bushes that are non-native. First of all, people aren't planting enough natives. But some of the berries the birds will eat as a last resort. So foster holly, those type of things, you'll see berries still on them, but the birds will eat them at last resort. But, you know, like the American holly, that's the first bush that the birds will clear off. The beauty berries, all of those type of things, dogwoods. And so if we're going to have native birds, we need to have native food, because you've got all of these shrubs that you go to Home Depot and you go to all of the nurseries, and they're from China and Japan. And you know what? Our birds don't eat Chinese food. You know, they just like American food. And it's not like they just don't recognize it as food.
Isn't that's interesting. And it's, I mean, we do a whole show on that of the importance of having certain kinds of bushes for the birds.
Right. And the other thing about that is that people have big, open, wide lawns, and they want to have birds in their yard. Birds are wonderful to watch and to enjoy out your windows. But if you have a big, wide open lawn, birds are not going to come generally to that area. They need to stay hidden. So people forget to put the understory. They've got some trees sometimes, but they forget the understory bushes that are really critical to a really good habitat. And then water. Bluebirds will come to water even in the winter. About a couple weeks ago, I had 6 bluebirds sitting on my bird bath. And I have a heater in there.
Yeah.
So there's water all the time. We get hundreds and hundreds of kinds of birds there visiting that water feature.
Now, one of the reasons, and I remember when you were here the last time, and you may encourage me to, after we're done today, to do some bird feeders, because one of the things that you always hear that if you have a bird feeder, it all does is draw squirrels.
Well, yes.
So that is a problem.
It is a problem, and you can get, in fact, I just last night, this is weird, but a friend of mine works at a bird store, and I said to her, okay, I mean, I have so many trees in the yard, I can't get the bird feeder away. And I said, what is the best one? And so I went ahead and ordered one from the internet, and it's got a very good plexi top to it. But, you know, some birds can't get to that feeder, so it makes it difficult. And it's also what kind of feed that you feed your birds. If you've got a nest box in your yard, you want to keep your bird feeders away from the nest box. That's a real critical thing, because the birds will be harassing that nest box, and then the male bird, whose job is to protect it, will just be exhausted all the time. So, and bluebirds don't go to feeders in general, but once I say that, people go away. They come to mind. But you know what? If you're hungry enough, you'll eat almost anything.
Yeah. Yeah. And Little here, we're talking bluebirds this morning. When we come back, we're going to, because you mentioned about it, about the feeder, and I guess there's a special kind of is there a special kind of bluebird feeder?
Well, you know what? Yes. I'll talk about that.
Okay. We'll do that when we come back. And Little here, we're talking bluebirds this morning. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
And Little's in with us this morning. We are talking bluebirds, and one of the things that you mentioned about having a nest, that they, if you want to have bluebirds, you need a nest box for them to stay.
Right. So bluebirds are cavity nesters. They're actually called secondary cavity nesters because they don't make the holes in the trees. Those are made by the woodpeckers.
Okay.
And then they would be the secondary cavity nester using it the second time around.
Okay.
There's over 117 secondary cavity nesters in Virginia, including owls and kestrels and all kinds of native birds. But the problem is we have so many invasive species, mostly the starlings and the house sparrows that are secondary cavity nesters also, and they've taken over a lot of those nesting cavities and pushed out the native birds. So that's why we do nest boxes, to help out our native birds. I mean, lots of people cut their trees down now. You know, if it looks like it's even a little wobbly, people get nervous. They think the tree's going to, like, jump them. and fall over on their house. So they cut it down, and so those cavities are gone. Remember when everybody had an apple tree in their backyard, Ted?
Oh, everybody did. Yeah.
Everybody did.
Yes.
There's no apple trees anymore. Kids don't even know that fruit comes from trees anymore. So
that is you're right, because that always used to be you always heard of it. Everybody had an apple tree in their backyard, and you'd have your own apples and
pears, yeah, and peaches. And so those were the cavities that the birds really
okay.
Did. And so now, you know how we got the starlings and the house sparrows in the United States?
No.
Okay. This guy back in the late 1800s wanted to see the birds of Shakespeare in Central Park and released 24 of each of those birds into Central Park. And now they're our two biggest pest birds in the United States.
Boy, you talk about how something that small can cover the country then.
Right, and they're in every one of our dryer vents, you know? I mean, everybody's got,
yes,
which is, you know, starting house fires, right? So, and they will attack the native birds and kill them and push them out of the boxes. So we put guards on them, which is a really critical thing for people to understand, that just sticking a box on your tree,
yeah,
is really creating a snake restaurant. Okay,
so we don't want a snake restaurant. But
right.
I like you have such vivid terms sometimes, and that's a snake restaurant.
It is.
Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to set the birds up for failure. But if you stick it on a tree, you know, a snake, and people say to me, "Well, I don't have black snakes in my yard." Well, I live in downtown Fredericksburg, and I have black snakes in my yard. Black snakes are every place, and they're good guys.
Yeah.
Because they kill and eat the water moccasins and the copperheads, and they drive them away. So you want them there. They get rid of your mice. But you don't want them in your nest box. And the way to do that is to put a guard on. And on our website, we have all, you can use a stovepipe that you get at Home Depot,
yeah,
and put that on your nest box and put it on a pole, and the snake can't get up the pole, and you've got a safe place for your bluebird.
Okay. So with the sparrows taking up this, you know, or, you know, chasing them out or killing them, or do bluebirds see that if there are no places, there are no cavities to find home, then is that why they'll just move north, or they'll move to another part of the country?
Right. I mean, basically what we've got is, and I'm seeing this spring, because I'm seeing male bluebirds sitting on top of lots and lots of nest boxes, so they're waiting for their honey to come along. So
okay,
the males start first and establish a territory. And they'll do that kind of February-ish. And they break away from their family. So the whole family of bluebirds that hatched last summer, and the chicks stay with the parents all through the winter. They roost in those boxes to stay warm together as a family, hunt together as a family, and find food. And then about February, the males break off to establish their own nest and their own family. And then as soon as they find a cavity, they stay there, and their job is to sing. They sing to keep other bluebirds away.
Okay.
And then the females come along, and if they like what they see, he's blue enough, he looks good.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about the sex appeal.
It's a hot bird.
He's a hot bird. And so they'll start looking at this box or this cavity, and they'll stay there for about a month, just kind of establishing that territory. And then about the 1st of April, she'll start laying eggs. And the way it works is she lays one egg a day and until she's got a full clutch. And then she'll brood the eggs together. She won't start brooding the eggs or trying to hatch them until all the eggs are laid, because all the chicks have to hatch at the same time,
mm-hmm,
and leave the nest at the same time. It's not like you see in these eagle cams or these owl cams,
yeah,
that they have them one at a time and they're sequential. And you also notice in those eagle cams that they'll have one of the birds might be a runt, that the other bigger birds will pick on it and eventually kill it or push it out of the nest. In the songbirds, they pretty much, you don't see runts. All the birds kind of share, and then they will fledge together, and they'll stay together right on through the year then.
So if we if 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 I don't have my nest box up now, it's probably too late for this year. This is something that you do toward the end of, or early part of the year, get one up. And
yeah, November, December is a really good time to put them up. But having said that, because it's so cold up north,
yeah,
all of the birds that are migrating from Florida, Carolinas, Georgia, they're coming up and they're finding out they can't go further north. And I'm seeing bluebirds sitting on nest boxes that I put up last week, which is really unusual. Hmm. And so we're really excited because I think we're going to see. We did a trail. We call it, any time you have more than five boxes, we call it a bluebird trail. And we put a bluebird trail over at Hugh Mercer Elementary this last 2 weeks ago. And I saw a bluebird on top of the box yesterday.
I know people that take pictures or have the boxes. I mean, they just because they're such a colorful bird, and they just rave about having bluebirds around.
Well, you know, the other thing that we do, Ted, is as a society, we monitor our boxes. So we check our boxes once a week, making sure that there's no house sparrows taking over that box.
Okay.
Because once the house sparrow takes it over, then they're going to have two or three clutches, and those chicks are going to go on to spread out, and then pretty soon we're going to have all house sparrows instead of bluebirds. And so we check once a week, and we have a group of people that usually will share a trail. So in downtown Fredericksburg, we have 17 boxes. We have some by the high school and the cemetery, by the Heritage Trail. And three of us take turns checking that once a week. And then every third week, I check it. And Fred checks it next week, and mm-hmm. so on. And we just see what's going on in there. And sometimes we find problems. I mean, this is nature. And sometimes there's heartbreaking things where you can open the box and maybe the female has died or the chicks are in distress. I had one box that I was at the golf course a few years ago, and it was West Nile's fever was really, really rampant then.
Yeah.
And I think the male and female were killed on that. They died from that. And so I opened the box, and the chicks were 10 days old, and they were just almost at death's door.
Is there anything you could – can you do anything?
Well, you can take them to a rehabilitator. So first off, I had to get them warm. So I put them in my shirt because that was the warmest place I could find. And I took them to a rehabilitator, and one of them made it. But the problem with a rehabilitator, she can't take them out and teach them how to hunt and teach them how to fly.
I was going to ask you that. How does that happen?
It doesn't. So she can put them in a flight cage. She can teach them a little bit, but they have to stay with their parents if at all possible. So if you find a baby bird on the ground, you want to leave it there most of the time because the parents are probably around, and they're going to feed that baby bird on the ground. And to take it away to a rehabilitator. I had a guy show up last year with a baby bluebird, and he said, I found this in Hooters parking lot. So I took it, and I know how to start the rehabilitation process, and I did, but I couldn't save the chick. I mean, it's really difficult because they have to be fed every 20 minutes.
Yeah. Well, and it's a good that's a good reminder too to if you see it, just leave it because you don't know that one of the parents could be nearby just watching and
Absolutely.
Waiting to be able to do it.
Absolutely.
Is it the kind of thing because you sometimes hear, you know, if you touch a bird like that, then once your scent gets on, or is that an old wives' tale?
That's an old wives' tale. Birds don't have a sense of smell at all, except vultures, because they have to. Otherwise, they'd never find any carrion. But no, birds, and we don't handle the birds unless there's a problem. So one day I opened up the box, and one of the adult female was dead, and all the ants had invaded the box.
Mm-hmm.
So I carry an old nest with me. So I took the chicks out, put them in the bucket that I carry, cover them up to keep them quiet and warm, and cleaned out all the ants, and then reconstructed the nest and put them back. But that's something that most people shouldn't have to do, or they could call me and I could help them through it, or if there's problems on their trail, or if there's problems in their box. Sometimes the best thing we do is if somebody calls and says, okay, this bird has been abandoned or whatever, we will say we'll go and say, okay, this baby is 7 days old.
Yeah.
Who, and then we'll send out an email, who's got 7 day old chicks in their boxes? And then we can take that chick and put it in that box. and the bluebird will readily accept it.
Wow, okay. Well, that gives you some hope then if you do run into something
right.
like that.
And actually, I've seen chickadees feeding bluebirds because the chickadee wanted that nest box and the bluebird was in there. So the chickadee just kept started feeding the bluebirds in hopes that they could get out of there faster, I think.
Yeah. Boy, the stories, you could write a book on some of these stories
I should, over the years.
Yeah. I mean, who knew that just putting a box up in your yard? I mean, sometimes I guess it's great fun and you get to see the birds, but just like you said, there's some heartbreak at times too when you see nature at work.
Well, our biggest thing that we want to do is get kids connected. Mm. And so I encourage all of our monitors. We had a little article in the Freelance Star about a month ago, and I said, you know, if anybody's interested in bluebird monitoring, I had over 100 responses, and we filled up really fast. People love to get out there, and I want them to take their kids out, their grandkids, get them, open up the box, see the eggs, see the babies, get in touch with nature, get an idea of what the heck is going on in your backyard.
Yeah. Well, when we come back, I want to talk about that, of how we can get involved just locally and also with the Virginia Bluebird Society. Ann Little is here. The website is virginiabluebirds.org. We'll get into all the information about getting involved locally and with the Bluebird Society when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Ann Little here this morning. We are talking about bluebirds, and you've a couple times mentioned about what's going on locally. I guess if someone wants to get involved, just get in touch with you.
Yes. I mean, you can just go to virginiabluebirdsociety.org. I'm the county coordinator for Stafford and the city of Fredericksburg, so my email's there.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you have questions, we just started working with Embry Mills up in Stafford. They're putting nest boxes out. They want to make that a real inclusive community and get their folks. You know, when we started way back in the early 1990s, we put up boxes out at Fawn Lake, about a dozen on the golf course. And then people really started picking up on it, putting nest boxes in their backyard. And actually there were bluebird wars because people were saying, well, you're attracting my bluebirds. And
yeah,
it was getting a little crazy there for a little while.
Boy, but what a great thing for neighborhoods to do. I mean, you talk about something that just adds some color and adds some just something to your neighborhood.
It brings the children in, and you know, I talked about that. One thing that the big initiative we have at the Virginia Bluebird Society this year, Ted, is that we're putting Nest Cams, which is a camera in a box that connects to the school computers, and we're putting these at any school that wants them free of charge. Virginia Bluebird Society will give that Nest Cam to the school, help them with the technology and getting it set up. We have it at Rodney Thompson Middle School has one, and when the birds start hatching, the principal gets on the PA and announces, turn on your computers, the bluebirds are hatching, and all the children get to see that.
Boy, and it's happening right there. I mean, because you mentioned the Eagle Cams have gotten to be very popular, but for something like bluebirds, you see those in your neighborhood. We don't see eagles all that often.
No. And you know, the other thing that's really cool about this, like at Rodney Thompson, not only did they have, they started out with bluebirds, then they started putting berry bushes and native plants in for their pollinator gardens. And then they got into the wetland areas there by the school. And now they're composting. So they're really become an ecological little magnet school. But we've got them at all the Stafford high schools. Now we've got them all at the schools here in Fredericksburg. But getting that nest cam, and one school has the kids at lunch, they can watch the birds in the nest.
Yeah.
So it's really cool.
Yeah, no, boy, you think about certain kind of life skills that you give kids. I mean, years ago it used to be technology has changed things, but you know, when you took shop class and things like that was something that was just very practical that you go into life with. This is the kind of thing that you know, whether you're in a, whether you're in an apartment or a house, as you grow up or, you know, as you become an adult, you learn these kind of things and you take this kind of thing with you.
Well, people, you know, I had a neighbor and where I used to live in Woodbridge, and I was checking one of the nest boxes there in the neighborhood, and he was coming with me, and I opened up the nest box and he looked inside and there was a nest with eggs in it, right? And he said, "How did that get in there?" I mean, really? I mean, that, I mean, this is a grown man that couldn't understand. I said, "One piece of grass at a time. That's how it works." And he was just astounded.
Really?
And here's a 50-year-old guy who had never looked at a nest in a box before.
Huh.
Look at all the things you're missing, you know?
Yeah, but you see, this time, especially this time of year, when birds are making nests, to see birds flying along, and they, you know, when they're carrying grass and things like that.
Right, and you know the thing is, you don't see baby birds in the outside. And why don't you see baby birds? Everybody goes, you never see a baby pigeon, you never see a baby. Well, the reason is they don't leave the nest until they're the size of an adult.
Yeah.
They're not quite the size of an adult weight-wise, but because they have all those pin feathers, they look like an adult. So the way that you can tell that you're looking at a baby bird is you'll see one bird fly by, that's usually the adult, and then two or three birds will be flying behind that adult, and those are the chicks. And they're learning how to fly. The mother's taking them and flying, helping them eat a little bit, but keeps flying because she's teaching them how to fly and teaching them how to eat.
I've never seen that. That has to be just fantastic.
Well, it is. Just look around and stand in your yard, and if you see three birds fly in a row, that's the mother and the chicks. Because that's what's going on.
That's, boy, interesting. Boy, and especially this this time of year, Ann, is really the time to be looking for that kind of thing.
Right. So right now the chickadees are hatching.
Yep.
Because they hatch and nest early. Bluebirds are starting to lay eggs, and they'll be hatching and nest and leaving the nest in about 30 days, because it's 12 days to brood the eggs and then 18 days for them to feed and to leave the nest. But, you know, by the time they start out about the size of the nail of your little finger, and they double in size almost every day until they're full grown in 18 days, and then they fledge. And they don't go back to that box ever. It's not a bird house. It's a nest box. And the only time they'll go back to that box is in the winter when they're cold and they want to stay warm again.
Oh, okay.
And they'll roost in there together and stay warm. And there'll be maybe 10 birds all smashed into that box trying to keep warm.
Is when we see the bluebirds, is that the male that's so colorful?
Yes. And that's generally in all birds in nature.
Because cardinals, same thing.
Right. So the male has to be seen because by other bluebirds. It's all about the same species kind of a thing. So the more colorful he is, the more vibrant he is, the more powerful he is, that will drive other bluebirds away from his territory. And they need about an acre of area to feed their young, because that's bluebirds eat insects. And so if you see the female, they really actually don't want to be seen because they're feeding the young, and they want to be kind of not seen. So that's really what you're going to find in nature.
Do you do any kind of a bluebird census or anything, or you mentioned that you're the person for the city in Stafford, and I noticed on the website you have all kinds of most localities have someone. So I guess individually you're all just keeping track of your area.
Right. We turn our data in at the end of the year, and so we get a snapshot. I mean, not everybody turns their data in, but we got a snapshot of what's going on. And, you know, getting a snapshot of like the Christmas bird count is done every year by Audubon across the United States. I mean, I have a little territory that I cover every year, and I go and count the birds that I see. And all of that data goes in. And so we're starting to really understand that, you know, chickadees are really, the numbers are going down because they need nesting sites too. We saw just different birds are kind of diminishing. Part of the big problem is cats. Cats outside are a real problem. They kill billions and billions of birds in the United States. And what's important? Why is that important that birds are important in our life? They take care of insects.
I was going to say insects. You just mentioned that.
And so my yard, I don't use pesticides. I don't use herbicides. I don't have any diseases in my yards. Why? Because I have birds, and they eat the insects. But if you don't have that, then you're going to have to use more pesticides, more insecticides. That's not good for the environment. It's not good for your family. It's not good for any of us.
Well, and that's why we mentioned it. We was just getting neighborhoods involved in this. You mentioned Fawn Lake or in other places. Not only is it just adds to your neighborhood, but also makes it to where you're not dealing with as many insects.
Right, and you know you've got I get it that people want perfect lawns. I get it because it's beautiful. But at the same time, that comes with a price.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're using all of these chemicals, you're going to kill those insects, and then you're not going to have the birds there. So it's a trade-off. But at the same time, there are organic alternatives. Nature is Alive has a great biological that you can put on your grass that kills crabgrass. And so a lot of people have found that and understand that also grass doesn't do anything for our environment. If you can shrink the edges, put in more shrubs, put in more berry bushes if you can, you're going to do a favor for the birds and for yourself. Because what a great entertainment. I look out my window every day and there's always something fun going on out there with the birds and the squirrels too.
Beats always looking at a small screen or being on the internet just to be able to look out there and to see that kind of thing.
Right. And you know, there's over 50 million bird watchers in the United States. And there's a reason for that. People, it's nature. It's beautiful, and it feeds our soul.
Oh, people love. I mean, it's great when you go to someone's house who does do that, and they have a bird book, and they can tell you what certain birds are, and just because they see them all the time.
Right, right. You should come in. Come on over. We'll take you for a walk.
I would like to.
And if anybody really wants to see. I mean, I can't take 20 people at once, but I can take a group of students. I can take scouts, that type of thing, when I go. You know, people will say, well, how do you get bluebirds? Well, the way you do it is put the boxes up and monitor them, making sure that the invasive birds don't go into them. But we have, I think now we have 17 boxes in downtown. Probably 12 of them have bluebirds in them. And so you're starting to see more bluebirds in the city, which is unusual.
Mm-hmm. Well, boy, it becomes more important just when you think of the growth that's going on in this area where Stafford, Spotsylvania, and the city, where you're seeing these subdivisions go up and trees getting knocked down and everything. It is important then to do
this.
Well,
what's cool about that is the fact is that those are perfect habitats for bluebirds because they like open land. Because the way they hunt for food is they see the insect and they jump down on it.
Okay.
They don't run around inside bushes like sparrows and things like that. So they're actually open grassy areas are perfect for bluebirds and also for deer and for squirrels. I mean, we're building perfect habitats for some of the animals that some of us don't want to see and some of us do want to see.
Well, you've got to be excited just to be able to say we're seeing more bluebirds in the city. Just that sentence alone has got to you've got to feel real good about that.
Right. And people are, you know, like we face the cemetery where our house is, and I've been wanting to get boxes over there for years. And so, and come to find out, they were just excited as we were to put boxes over there. And I put one out, and I saw a bluebird there yesterday. And it was just sitting on the box.
Yeah.
So it's like, build it, and they will come.
And it's not too soon. It's not too late to put them out now. Because I thought, when we first started, I thought, oh, well, I guess we've missed this year that, you know, towards the end of the year, you'll want to do it.
Well, you might get tree swallows, which is a native bird. You might get house wrens, which also is a native. And that's the thing you have to understand. If you don't get bluebirds, you don't get to kick out the other birds unless they're an invasive sparrow or a starling. A house sparrow, if you want to know what they look like, go over to Home Depot. Home Depot, it's a Home Depot bird.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the birds that you can kick out. But if you get a native bird, you cannot. And our website's got lots of information about that. But it's fun to actually see them. It's beautiful little tree swallows are just great.
Yeah. Well, so how do you actually kick out a bird? How do you
well,
go about
you
doing
pull
that?
The nest out.
Oh, okay. That's that's what I wondered. Okay,
right.
that's
And that's what we do. We do a control where if we check the box and we see the nest, and it's nest identification. We have those on our website as well. A bluebird nest looks totally different than a house sparrow nest. A house sparrow nest often has cigarette papers. I don't think they smoke, actually. They just collect
Yeah, they collect them. They're easy to get.
Yeah. So anyway, they like the shininess of it. So if you've got a house sparrow, you just remove the nest and the eggs and just keep doing that till they don't come back. That's
Although
all.
House sparrows can be shady characters, so they could be. Virginia, virginiabluebirds.org is the website, and it has all kinds. Boy, it is really a comprehensive website. Gives you all kinds of information, and gives you information on getting in touch with you and wherever you're at, people to get in touch with.
Right, and we have county coordinators in almost every county in the state, and they're there to help you work with children, work with scouts. We have a lot of scout. We have grants that if a scout wants to do an Eagle Scout project, we have money to help him do an Eagle Scout project with bluebirds.
Okay.
We have grants for schools. We want to give our money away because this is what we do, is that we're all volunteers and we're trying to help nature.
And you want this time next year when we do another show on bluebirds, you want to be able to say that, you know, the population is growing and growing in this area.
Right. And well, not just bluebirds. We're all about cavity nesting. We want to really help that whole, because, you know, we don't want just a monochrome of bluebirds.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we really, getting nest boxes out will bring people to understand that there's just a lot of that they can attract into their yard.
And Little, here we're going to wrap this up when we come back again. It's virginiabluebirds.org is the website we've been talking about. We're going to wrap this up and talk a little bit more about bluebirds and birds and cavity nesters and talk just a second about what's going on with Tree Fredericksburg. We'll do that when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Get the latest local news online at newstalk1230.net. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Ann Little, and this morning we've been talking bluebirds. Before we get out of here, Ann Little, also known for her work with Tree Fredericksburg, and it's been a busy spring for Tree Fredericksburg. Last 3 weekends you've been out planting.
Right. Well, we normally don't plant a lot in the spring. We try to get most of our planting in the fall because that gets the trees in the ground, and then they can grow their roots through the winter because we don't get that cold here. But last fall, if you remember, Ted, we didn't have any rain.
It was dry.
It was so dry. And in fact, we did put some trees in last fall that didn't make it, because we only have so much watering capacity. We have about 900 water bags, but we had them all in use. Mm. And we ran out of water bags, and we just couldn't put another tree in the ground, because we knew that we'd lose it. So we canceled all of our orders, or postponed them till this spring, and then we've done a lot of planting this spring. So it's been a little bit exhausting, because normally we've got a lot of other activities that we do. We work with a lot of kids with Arbor Day events and getting scouts out and that type of thing.
Well, if you go up, if you drive up Fall Hill Avenue, or if you're coming down the new section on Fall Hill Avenue there, the divided road there, boy, it looks so good. You've got trees all there. You've got them over by Snowden Park, over by Wicklow Drive.
Right. We had this wonderful group of folks came out from Manassas and Spotsylvania. They came from their mosque. So there was probably about 40 Muslim women.
Mm-hmm.
And they came in, some of them in traditional garb. And I was a little nervous. I'm thinking, well, how are these folks going to plant trees with, you know, scarves and long flow? They were the best workers I've ever seen in my life.
They were hard workers.
They kicked butt. They put those trees in faster than anybody I've ever seen, and did it right.
Yeah,
and did it with a lot of enthusiasm. They were just wonderful to work with. And last week we had some kids that were doing some court service and some getting their time in that's been designated by the courts. They were fabulous. They just worked themselves to death, and it's wonderful to see.
Mayor Greenlaw worked herself. I mean, she was her little group worked away the day I saw her.
Yes, I mean, she's an amazing person, and what a blessing we have for her as our mayor. She's an amazing woman.
Well, you look around, you see Tree Fredericksburg has what an imprint you have all around the city. But again, Fall Hill Avenue, I came up at Saturday and was just, it looks so good. You know, all those trees along the side there, as they grow, it's going to be terrific to see.
Well, you know, and that gives a little barrier between that path and the road.
Yeah.
Because nobody feels real safe walking next to that path right now. And, you know, the thing right now is we're going to see all the color coming out in the city. We've planted over 6,500 trees since we started in 2008. And there's lots of cherries and red buds and colorful trees that are going to be bursting through the city. And I think that just makes people feel really happy and gladdens your heart to see the beauty that we can bring to the city.
Oh, it does. No, it really does. And I've been with you over the last few years in a number of places. And to see now, a few years later, of how those trees have made it and how they're really contributing to neighborhoods.
Yes. Next week, we're going to be planting in Mayfield. We've got 59 trees that we're putting in Tyler Street area.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing about it is that trees increase your property value. So up to 25 to 30% of tree-lined streets get more money than those that are not tree-lined. So if we can help our neighborhoods increase their property value, it's a win-win for everybody.
And you also added, was it this past weekend, you were over by the train station, you put some things in.
Right. We wrote a little grant. We've been doing that over the last 5 years. There's a little property right there across from the Kiss and Ride. And we've added, just every year we add something. This year we added 40 flowering shrubs. And, you know, that area went from just being a homeless camp to just beautiful. And I think the neighborhood appreciates it. And you see kids there rolling around in the grass and people having picnics and things like that. So it's really a nice little green space.
Well, Anne, we all appreciate you. This is, I mean, this between Bluebirds and Tree Fredericksburg, just great stuff. And you've just added so much to the city with all of this. So thank you.
Thank you. I mean, what am I going to do? Sit home and watch TV?
That's right.
I don't think so.
You can sit out. You can sit at home and watch Bluebirds. VirginiaBluebirds.org is that website. Ann Little here. Ann, good to see you. We'll see you soon. Thanks.
Thanks, Ted.
That's it. We'll see you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.